Congressman Peter Welch is a Democrat of Vermont, the only one in Vermont at large in office since 2007. Peter, I know that you are on the Committee on Energy and Commerce, and you are on a subcommittee, which has always made me interested, and that's Oversight and Investigations. What do you do there?
Well, you do it's got broad jurisdiction. So, for instance, I'm on the Oversight Committee as well, Oversight and Government Reform. And both of them have jurisdiction over investigating things that are going on. The Oversight Committee actually is somewhat more active. And the thing that we did that corresponds to my work on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which has jurisdiction over healthcare, was this whole deal about EpiPen. And that's a pretty astonishing story that shows how drug pricing is really not controlled by the market. It's controlled by, basically, in this case, a company, Mylan, that had a monopoly on the market and used the pricing power that goes with being a monopoly player to make quite a bit of money.
When you're a Democrat in a Republican House of Representatives and you're on such a committee and the chairman of the Republican chairman, the head guy, determines what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, that's got to be pretty frustrating.
Well, it is. But going back to the Oversight Committee, with Jason Chaffetz, the Republican, as the chairman, I've worked well with him, and I asked him for this hearing on EpiPen along with Tammy Duckworth, and he agreed to do it, and we did it, and it was a terrific hearing. But he does two things. One is he'll actually do, I think, what I would regard as legitimate investigations, and the other thing that he does is what I would regard as politically motivated investigation, where it's Benghazi, 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 mm-hmm. then emails, 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 and it never stops, no matter how much of a dead end it ultimately will be. But the EpiPen hearing that we had, Alan, was very, very good, and it was reassuring to me because the situation with EpiPen is that this used to cost $100 about 7 or 8 years ago. Mylan purchased the company that owned EpiPen. And once they did, they started boosting the price regularly. So right now, the EpiPen that used to cost $100 is now $608. Mm-hmm. And most people who need EpiPen, they have to replace it like every year.
Now they need it. I'm sorry to interrupt, Peter, but they need it because they may get stung by a bee or have an anaphylactic shock problem, right?
That's exactly right. And thank you for explaining that.
Well, there are a few people who may not know about it. That's all.
Right. No, But when they need it, they need it. And it's not a big deal if you get the shot. But this is not this product is not something that is out there because of research money, billions of dollars that sometimes goes into developing a drug. It's been around forever. But EpiPen is owned now by Mylan, and they've been able to price boost. And the other thing about it that came out in the hearing is that Mylan did a corporate inversion. And they are now they're now headquartered in the Netherlands. And if you want to buy an EpiPen in the Netherlands, instead of paying $608, you pay $104.
The import of this is that because they're in a different country, they're forced to be more reasonable in that country?
Well, I think it is. I asked that of the CEO of Mylan, and she didn't have any answer. But all around the world, prescription drugs, and this is not really prescription, is a lot less expensive than there than it is here.
Why is that?
In part, it's because there's significant government involvement in addressing broken markets, markets that don't have competition. The government doesn't let there be price gouging. You know, with EpiPen, it's nothing. It's vital to the person that needs it, but it's not a wonder drug. It's been around for forever, and it's very inexpensive. So it's something you need when you need it. But if you had competition or you had a company with some restraint that was selling at a reasonable price, then you wouldn't have this financial hardship being imposed on so many families. Well, you know, if you're a mom and you've got a son in grade school, let's say, and they who has an allergy to peanuts or the bee sting is going to put them into anaphylactic shock, you're terrified that your son or daughter is not going to have that adrenaline when they need it. So you might want to have EpiPens for them at school. You might want to have EpiPens for them, obviously, at home, and maybe an extra EpiPen or so in case you're taking any trip. So it's a lot of anxiety. And then where you actually have these things expire, so you want to make certain that the dosage is proper and effective, you've got to keep changing it. So it's a huge expense to some of these families as the precautionary step they need to take in order to avoid the catastrophe of untreated anaphylactic shock.
So how can the Congress use its bully pulpit? Can they just
Two things.
Yeah, please.
One, we use the bully pulpit. And two, I think we've got to come up with price negotiations. We've got to, something like, and this is Medicare Part D, but we're the largest, the government is the largest buyer of prescription drugs, and we cannot use the bargaining power that goes with being a large-scale purchaser to get a better price. We just have to take the price that's offered. I think, secondly, we can get more transparency in the market. There's a lot of middlemen that get involved, like the prescription benefit managers, and it's totally opaque as to what you're paying for the service of the prescription benefit manager. In fact, most people don't even know they exist. And they're keeping it obscure because they get rebates from the drug companies. Bottom line here is that you've got a broken market. And in the hearing with my colleagues on the Oversight Committee, I saw my Republican colleagues, for the first time I can remember, focusing on the broken market element. Because a lot of times they've been resistant to my advocacy. The government does have to get involved because they see this government interference. But now what they're seeing is there really is a broken market.
Now, what does broken market mean?
Well, there's a monopoly in many cases by the prescription drug companies. So in the case of Mylan and EpiPen, they have 97% of the market. So this adrenaline that has been around forever, it's not the result of enormous research investments, they're able to charge what the market will bear. And you've got the perfect storm benefit, really, for the drug company, because even though this is a simple drug and there was no research money invested by Mylan, if you're the mom or dad of a son or daughter that needs it, you can't take the risk. So you're going to pay what you have to pay in order to make sure your son or daughter is safe. You know, so that people are put between this horrible choice of paying something that they can't afford or enduring a loss they can't bear.
But I have only one more question, Peter. Sorry, we only have a minute, and that is, isn't the whole new generic application coming onto the market?
Well, adrenaline is generic already. That's the irony here. The EpiPen is just a way of delivering it. It's a better delivery mechanism. But the actual substance that's injected, adrenaline, has been around forever, and it is a generic.
So isn't there an opportunity for competition?
We've got to have competition there. I mean, when you've got a monopoly player that's abusing the market position, somehow, some way, we've got to stand up for the people that are getting hammered financially with this.
Well, Peter Welch, we just think the world of you. Peter Welch is Democrat of Vermont, at large in office since 2007. Is a big part of the Congressional Corner, always has been, and we so much appreciate it, Peter.
Well, you know, that's likewise, Alan.
Thank you for that, and we'll see you the next big round, okay?
All right. See you later.